The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good evening, everyone. And what should we discuss? What's on your mind that you'd like to ask about or explore, discuss?
Grief.
Hmm?
Grief.
Grief. That says the person who's laying down. Why do you ask?
Maybe it's more loss or change during the holiday season.
Uh-huh.
As we grow older and our kids grow older and our families, the whole tradition changes, and there is a feeling of grief and sort of not being grounded.
So with the holidays, I guess there's kind of a regularity of the holidays coming every year, and some things stay the same. The holidays, you know, in principle stay the same, you know, whatever they are. And sometimes families gather together and there's change that happens. I know that a friend of mine has a custom of every family gathering once a year takes a photograph of the whole family. And then they put it on the wall in the hallway. And it's, you know, it's quite moving after 50 years, or she's in her, yeah, after 50 years, to see all the changes, you know, of kids, grandchildren, people who pass away, people don't come anymore. So all these changes. So there might be all kinds of reasons why you're lying down. But I wonder, I mean, with all seriousness, what's the difference? You asked about grief and this loss and how to work with it. What's the difference between addressing something like loss, sitting upright versus lying down, both literally but also some kind of metaphorically? What's the difference between meeting grief those two ways? Anybody like to offer some? Yes.
Last week, someone told me a story about being a duck in regards to facing a storm, which, you know, we could say that grief is like a storm or change is like a storm. And the ducks, when faced with chaos, face into it and lean into it so that they're actually sitting up, not mm-hmm. reclining, and it passes over them, over their heads and over mm-hmm. their backs.
Mm-hmm. So when we have storms, we there's a way of leaning into it, facing it, which might work for us too. Some people have the tendency of running away. So I'm going to ask you all a question. And it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's a, it's not exactly a meditative question, but it's a kind of a reflective question that it's very interesting to explore in a kind of a little bit more meditative way. So if you're game for this, what it means, it entails is closing your eyes, and we'll sit just quietly for a couple of moments. And then I'm going to ask you a question. And after a while, I'll ask you a second question. And then see what bubbles up. And perhaps not thinking about the answer in the usual way, but seeing, you know, what kind of maybe pops up from deep in yourself, deep in your belly or something, as a response to the question. So breathing a few times, settling in again, relaxing. And so everyone faces loss. Sometimes we face loss with wisdom, And sometimes we face it with no wisdom whatsoever that seems present. And when no wisdom is present, when no wisdom is present for you, and you face really big loss, what is your kind of gut reaction to it? When you're not wise in any way, you don't have access to your own wisdom, good sense, what's the instinctual response that you have to great loss? So then, taking maybe a couple of deep breaths and letting that reflection go. And then when you encounter loss, large loss in your life, and you have access to wisdom, what is the most likely response you have then to loss? Okay, so then you can open your eyes. So would anybody like to share some, make some comments about the difference between those two ways of encountering loss?
I did have a big loss, and I didn't have any wisdom, and I just fought it. I was so angry, and I really contracted, and I caused myself a lot of suffering. And over the years, I've by following this path and getting wiser, I'm kind of opening to it more, and getting becoming my all. How I can explain it is, my heart is getting bigger to hold the grief, and so it's a softer, and so I just keep getting a bigger container inside, more spacious.
So in a sense, the loss hasn't changed, but what's changed is your heart has gotten bigger over the years. It can hold it better.
Yes.
And what helps to make your heart bigger?
Just a whole lot of following the path, opening to gratitude. A lot of gratitude for what I have, compassion for myself, and it's an ongoing thing.
Yes.
Learning with meditation, it's kind of the developing more spaciousness is all how I could say it, instead of that tight, that closed heart that was caused me a lot of pain.
Great. Thank you very much. So someone else.
I had a great loss. my son, at age 30, passed. the initial thought was pain and suffering and what could I have done different? How could I have helped? Self-blame. Lots of tears. And with the passing of time and whatnot, as he comes up, he would have been 60 on this coming December 1st. I've been enlightened by the God of my understanding, because I have through the years the gift I had of having him 30 years. He had been a beach bum in Hawaii for 10, and I have the gift of remembering all the good things, that my saving my pennies to go visit him and have him come up and take a bath in the hotel. And the real gifts of having had what I had, and then some flashbacks of what might have happened and what I might have been different, but with the God of my understanding, the graciousness of the God that I know.
Great. Beautiful. Thank you very much. So, Jim, could you pass maybe yours on the...
I have sort of a poignant example. I was what came up for me was a loss that I had when I was 5 years old, and it was about I used to share a room with my brother who was a year older, and we had twin beds from the time I was born, and my baby brother grew out of his crib, and it my parents decided I needed my own room, which was like, oh boy, aren't I special? So all the work went into making my own room, all pink. I mean, it was like a little girl's dream. And I got, you know, my first night in there was just absolute terror. Because I'd look around the room and I would see like hands, and I'd have to go to the bathroom, and I would look down and see King Kong in the living room, and all I wanted was to go back and sleep with my older brother. So for a long time, well, I don't know how long, I would go in at night and I would crawl into bed beside him, and I would actually put my teeth on his pajamas, so I would know if somebody was taking him. In other words, King Kong would get him first, which was okay with me. At least I would know. But as I just felt this sense of huge confusion and pain that something that I had wanted so bad and felt so special about caused me, it was excruciating. And then when I look back on it as an adult, I realized that it was just one of those transitions that we make all through our lives. And it means letting go of something in the past if you're going to grow. And I think what made me so sad at that time was I realized there's no going back. There's no going back. Mm. This is what growth is about.
Beautiful, thank you. So maybe that's relevant for your question today, too. Yeah. And so someone else, what's the difference between responding without wisdom and responding with wisdom? It might be interesting to have a range of people speak. You don't have to tell a story around it, but just what is the difference? Because there's a lot of different ways that people respond. It might be interesting to hear the range.
I walked in when you were giving your reflection.
That's right. And, it's okay. And the first word that popped into my mind was appreciation. Kind of much like what you were sharing. You know, the reflection of we have this great loss, and at the same time, it's really added to our life experience. I mean, that relationship, whatever that loss is, without it, we aren't who we are on some level. You know, whoever that is, it's co-created who we are. So I think there's a tremendous, for me, appreciation.
So when you have wisdom, maybe you're more likely to kind of appreciate. Mm-hmm. Appreciation kind of makes it easier, the loss. And when the wisdom is not there, how do you tend to react?
I think anger, probably. You know, some sort of the poor me kind of self pity. Other conditions start to sort of percolate up right away. You know, why me? You know, those kind of conditions. I think.
Great, thank you. Please.
came up for me was I sort of envisioned a loss in my life, and the feeling that I felt overwhelmingly was rejection of the experience, that this cannot be, and I need to do something about this, and it sort of flooded my mind. And when I added the wisdom, I sort of tuned into my breath, and what I found was the big change was the acceptance. I sort of saw it as, you know, like when I meditate and something comes up for me, I'm practicing noticing it and just saying, hey, there's a thought, you know, there's a feeling right there. And then coming back to the breath, and that's kind of what I did when I added the wisdom, was I sort of said, oh, there's a loss right there. Mm. And kind of came back to where I was.
Where you were. Beautiful. So when there's wisdom there, you can clearly identify that there is loss, the feelings that are there, the thoughts that are there, and you can come back to yourself more rather than losing yourself in trying to fix it or be angry or rejected, as you said. Great, thank you. Someone else?
What came up for me with not looking at something with wisdom was blaming and feeling that things weren't fair and I didn't deserve this, what this person was doing, and I was suffering. And with the wisdom, I've started to think more about what the motivation of that person might be for what they're doing, and that they may be suffering, and just trying to see things more from their perspective. Mm.
So seeing things more from their perspective as opposed to maybe only seeing it from your perspective and how it impacts you. Or
yeah.
Oh, beautiful, that's important. So maybe pass it over here.
I think that in the past, when I've felt grief, I've just contracted into myself. And I think the more I've practiced, the more I've opened my heart and realized that when the most healing thing when I'm grieving, or maybe after I've done some grieving, is to then turn around and take that compassion and turn around and give it to someone else. And so I always try to remember that, you know, when I'm feeling really bad, I think, I'm going to go find someone else who feels even worse than I do, and I'm going to feel so much better, and they're going to feel so much better, and it's just a win-win situation.
Thank you. Right back.
So I agree with a lot of things that have been said here tonight, but one feeling that comes over me when I am experiencing grief or anything that's very upsetting is a very severe contraction, and it's almost like a shuddering and an impulse to go and do something. To avoid, to change. And when there is more wisdom, there is a sense of having the space to just look at it, to observe it, to not get pulled by the river mm-hmm. of emotion, and to just to understand and let it be. To know that nothing needs to be changed, that this is a process, and that there is actually great beauty in that loss, because out of change, there is an opportunity for change, for beauty, for you know, something new to grow, something. For new growth, almost like, you know, in the winter there's spring.
Beautiful. So instead of contracting, it's staying present, staying mindful, open to the experience. And when you're open, then perhaps it can work through you in a way that's beneficial. There's something, there's some benefit there too.
Well, this topic kind of hits home with me. A year ago, almost to this day, my nephew died, a young guy with a great wife and a 7-year-old daughter. And it was a freak thing. He had had surgery some weeks before, and he was out playing with his kid, and he ended up with a blood clot that went to his lung and then into his brain, and he died. And I can remember, without wisdom, keep asking myself why over and over again, why? And, you know, I finally came to the realization there is no reason. It's just what it is. And you can't make it anything more than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Thank you. And if I may ask you, unless it's still raw, is what was the emotion that was fueling the question why?
I think some of it was anger. Because I wanted a reason. I wanted to know how could this happen to somebody who's a good person and is healthy. And it made no sense to me.
And so the fuel, I mean, it's a reasonable to have that question, it's understandable. And the fuel which gave it power to that question was the anger?
Yeah, I think I was angry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, thank you. So, you know, what we're talking about today is lays at the heart of what Buddhism was designed to address. And you have, you know, next to me here, the Buddha sitting in an ideal way, upright. I like the idea of upright, facing our life, being upright. And see, when he sits upright this way, he's not cowering. There's kind of an ability to it. But he's also not like the ducks leaning into it. But he's also aligned and balanced. And in this kind of posture, the idea is to be present for your life, all of your life, and that kind of, he's also very grounded, he's sitting on the ground. He's kind of grounded, stable, upright. And there's something remarkable that happens when we meet our life in this posture. Not to reject anything, not to turn away from anything or deny anything, but to let whatever's going on, our loss, our grief, our anger, whatever, kind of be processed, be worked through us, have it be open to it. So we don't resist it or tighten up against anything, but we also don't give in to it. And that's a remarkable thing that happens with that kind of balance, uprightness. So Buddhism was designed, at the heart, was to address these kinds of issues, you know, to talk about it today, to mention some of these great losses some of you have had, is to, and to learn how to work with it and find our way through it is really what, you know, this is not, we're not just talking about stress reduction here. And then he sits with a smile. He has a half smile. Buddhism is meant to address these issues. And you work through it and you come to the smile or something like it. So I would actually like to hear a few more people if it's not too getting to be too much.
I was just thinking about the loss of a friend that happened to me about 12 years ago. And what you said right now really resonates with me because that's how I came to be interested in Buddhism. I didn't have enough wisdom to deal with that. And I was very much in complete turmoil and very much focused on my pain. And I was trying to find the answer for me. I usually try to find wisdom in experiences of other people. So my first question was just I mean, it's obvious that other people were in that situation, and what did they do? And eventually, taking that way, I did find some wisdom. And for me, it was not being focused on myself. I just realized that I'm absolutely not important, that there is a lot of pain happening to everybody, everywhere, every minute. When I take a breath, somebody dies a horrible death somewhere. So why should I be so focused on my pain? Why not to focus instead of on pain of other people, other living beings, and see maybe I can do something about that? And it definitely helps dealing with losses. I also had the losses last summer, and it was a very different experience for me.
Beautiful, thank you. So there's a certain way of focusing too much on oneself that it's like we're having a heavy weight around our neck. It carries us down. And it's not, you're not supposed to necessarily ignore yourself, but not be weighed down by our self-focus, which can be so much. And one of the ways not to be weighed down is to turn it outward and live a life and try to benefit others. If you do too much of that, though, and don't focus on yourself at all, that can be a problem, too. And the idea is to have just the right balance of respect for yourself. And so again, the statue of the Buddha is, you know, kind of balanced. You know, it says that when he meditates this way, his eyes are actually half open, not closed like we do sit and meditate. And the idea is that when the eyes are half open, you're actually connected to the world still. When you close your eyes, you're kind of like, you know, shutting out the world in a certain way. And so at least symbolically, the idea that you're both focused inwardly and outwardly equally, and so you're not stuck in either domain. Anybody else? Yes.
As far as grief in the present, grief for me doesn't always mean the end of life. I'm currently living with my husband who, very painful to watch people that we love live in great fear and live in great doubt and insecurity and contracting, so to speak, and not maybe not really knowing what to do about it or knowing what to do about it and not doing the self-care, not doing the meditation, not doing the kinds of things that would be helpful. So to me, there's a lot of grief in watching that.
Watching that loss is a loss.
Huge.
For you, for him, for the many people that...
Absolutely.
And you're living it every day. It's different than, in some ways it's different than when there's like a death where it's...
Right.
It's, you know, it's something, it's, so there's something usually...
There's no finality and, you know, and it's just day after day. And, you know, there's not much... You know, I can try to impart my wisdom, you know, as much as I can, or give suggestions or whatnot, but it's just very painful.
So what wisdom do you have for yourself?
What I need to do is just allow that person to, you know, he's got his own God, and for myself... come to meditation, you know, kind of go inward and look at, you know, what am I doing to feel empowered and then to, you know, bring that to other people as well. So I just can't change people.
Beautiful.
So
he has his own God. In Buddhist, I mean, not as it means I'm saying the same thing, but in Buddhism we would say, person has their own karma,
right,
to work through. They have to take responsibility for themselves.
Right.
And you can try to help them and support them, but ultimately they take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then learning to take care of yourself. You're taking responsibility for yourself.
Absolutely. And not go down with the burning ship.
Thank you. So it's interesting to... reflect in times of any kind of crisis, not just loss, to be, if you can be aware of what is your gut reaction to the crisis, to the challenge, to the difficulty, because there are times when you're not going to have access to all your wisdom. Maybe you're really tired, you know, you're exhausted, so you don't, you know, or for some reason you're stressed out, or who knows what the reason. And if you're really familiar with this, so some people, you know, everybody, I think everybody has, like, you know, their specialty or their predisposition in certain direction. Some people, when they're challenged, go into the fight mode. They attack, they get angry. And sometimes they get angry and they attack what's out there. Sometimes they attack what's in here. They get angry with themselves and blame themselves. Some people are more the flight type. Rather than turning and facing the problem or attacking or, you know, something, lashing out, they tendency is to pull back, run away, close down, put their head in, you know, be like an ostrich, put their head in the sand, you know. Do they really do that, ostriches? But, you know, anyway. And, you know, just try to pretend it's not going on. Some people, like introverts, become very, very much more pulled in and trying to sort through it kind of much more on their own. People who are more extroverted tend to go out and find help and want to be connected, involved in, with other people. And so what is your way? And what is, you know, and because if you can recognize if you have a predisposition, then you're more likely to notice it if it starts happening. And you might be study it a little bit and reflect and learn so you're prepared ahead of time. Say, this is my, I'm often this way. I tend to, so like for myself, I tend to pull in to myself. I tend to pull inwards. And so when I in that kind of place, you know, I have to try to find some way to open up or reach out. Or I've told some of my friends, I've told my wife, for example, if I'm ever in this state, that you see me kind of like getting really quiet and pulling in, what really helps is if you ask some questions. You know, so I know myself well enough that it actually helps sometimes to get some help from outside. So I can have asked for it now from her. And so if you know your way, you know, what then it helps, you know, because you can maybe have learned some skills around that. If your way is to assume that you're perfect and that you have no flaws or shortcomings, or I don't know what the right word is for you, but you know, me, you know, look at my issues, then you might not become wise about your issues, you know, your challenges. So I think it's really good to know what your kind of instinctual thing is, your thing, your way, and then to learn what wisdom is for you. And there's a lot of things to learn, a lot of wise things to learn, and some of it's specific to your type, your way, and some of it can be relevant for everyone. And kind of to belabor the point of sitting upright and sitting still this way, this beautiful balanced posture of the Buddha, not collapsing, not attacking, but something about the dignified and very open. His chest is open and present. And that capacity to make space in the heart, in the chest, in the body, in the mind, to let what we feel move through us. And it's one of the safest places to do that is to do it in meditation. That anything that arises can move through us, can live there. Because all these things that arise and pass within us are processes. There's nothing fixed and stuck, and you know, unless we freeze around it. And to be able to do it in this posture and let these energies course through you. And I'd recommend it, if you have never done it, be on the lookout for some really good, juicy, strong, emotional storm. You know, I mean, don't go make one. Don't go look for trouble. But if one of those should occur, you have lots of experience. It happens occasionally. Then try taking this posture, or the way that's appropriate for you to do the same thing. Will you sit upright in a dignified way, open way, and see what happens if you just allow the energy to be there and course through you. As I've said a few times now, I've read a few times recently, a claim, seemingly a research claim from psychologists studying people's physiology or emotions, claiming that no emotion lasts more than 90 seconds. And the reason why we think they last longer is they seem to be stable, they seem to be coming, but we're constantly reinforcing it. We're constantly involved in some way. We tell ourselves stories, we react to it, we build on it, and there's, you know, it happens very fast, and we're not trained very well to see our contribution. And how, it looks like it's just kind of washing and washing through us, happening, you know, for a day sometimes. But one of the things we can discover through mindfulness is how we contribute to the process, how we pick it up and react to it, and how there's sometimes a long chain reaction that goes on that allows these things to keep going on for on and on. So even something like resentment. We can be resentful for years, but the resentment, if you don't latch onto it, don't hold on to it, don't keep reinforcing it, maybe it'll only last 90 seconds. Now, it might reoccur. Doesn't mean it doesn't, you know, might reoccur. But that's reoccurring is very different than kind of just being kind of there all the time. So this thing about this posture and meditation, you know, this idea of being open and present, keep your chest open, keep your head upright. Sometimes there's tremendous forces inside of us to give into it, to collapse, to fight, to get up, do something, anything. It's a whole range of things we can do, except sit still. But sit still upright and strong and dignified, and then stay mindful and see what happens if you do that. It's amazing what can happen. Yes?
I could use some real help with this. Can you give us like a step-by-step or recipe from getting to 2 days of this emotion to 90 seconds? And, I can see mindfulness and, you know, okay, that's a story. Okay, that's ego. But 90 seconds?
It seems kind of amazing. I'm kind of amazed, too, at that figure. But I have seen in myself amazing how quickly things can go through if I get out of the way and don't interfere with it.
How do you get out of the way?
Well, the first thing to do is to learn how to recognize how to be present for yourself in a clear and strong way. So that's you can come to IMC in January when I do my 6-week introductory course in mindfulness meditation. And then there's 6 weeks where we slowly kind of on Wednesday evenings I lay down the foundation for how we do mindfulness here and how the skill of mindfulness that you can do. And doing the course is not necessarily going to help you, but if you apply the material in the course, and then slowly over time you'll develop the skill and mindfulness that help you do that. It doesn't work so well usually to wait to do a spiritual practice until you come to a crisis. It works a little bit better usually to prepare the ground for the crisis that's going to come. And so, you know, build up the strength of the mind and the heart, and develop the compassion, develop the ability to pay attention, develop the ability to let go. There's a lot of things that can be developed and strengthened. And then sooner or later, when that crisis comes, and everyone will face a crisis sooner or later, then it's part of human life is to have so much crisis. Except... I'll end with this little wonderful story of a friend of mine who for many years was a hospice nurse. And so people were there coming to the hospice to die. There would come a point where she would gather the family together of the dying person and say to the family, from this point on,
there is no more crises. Meaning that from this point on, we're just going to let nature, let this take its course. This is not, we're not calling 911, we're not calling, you know, this is not a crisis anymore now. This is just, it might, you know, the time to. And hopefully we're prepared for that. So thank you. And if this felt a little bit heavy today, and you came here to be lightened up, it's good to come, you know, it's good to have open to something, and you know, this is really, as I said earlier, this practice is meant to address these kinds of issues, and hopefully we can, this helps us all become stronger and face it, and realize that there is a wonderful practice that can support and help us in times of great need. So, thank you very much for those people who shared, and for everyone being part of this evening. Good night.